Let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Vic and Sylvie Avery.
And welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and who watch over us. In a most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world, when my husband Mick deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. And this week's show is about Gregory's journey in the spirit world. Don't worry, it's not a repeat. It's actually part seven. So I don't know. I mean, this could go on for a long time, but it's absolutely fascinating. We're so pleased that we are finding out so much more about Gregory and the spirit world in each show that we do this. And if you would like to join us with a question, the phone lines are open. Oh, and I haven't got the phone lines number with me.
Oh, duh.
I haven't got it on here either. Well, hopefully you're on the website. And I know I should know it off by heart, but
you don't.
I failed at the top, I'm afraid. So have a look on the website. You can call in toll-free in Canada and in the USA.
Yeah, and it's not toll-free elsewhere.
No, but you can ask Gregory a question about our topic tonight, and we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work, on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and every Thursday at 1 p.m. PST, we also have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. Oh, and incidentally, that program is actually, you have to email in your questions. It's not on the phone. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book an Akashic reading, or perhaps go and buy the new CD, triple CD that we've got out, which is called Whale Trilogy. We also have books, of course, and other audio CDs from this current show. We insist, in fact, that you go and visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also at spiritsworkradio.com. Now, what we're able to achieve as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. When I go into deep trance, Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the whole show. And I'm not going to know about anything else that happens from the time that I leave my spirit, my physical body, because they take my spirit and my consciousness and put them somewhere else. Sometimes it can be in a place that I remember, and other times it might not be anywhere that I remember. But the point is that I don't actually fixate upon that. It doesn't really matter. It's immaterial, unlike shamanism, where they actually repeat the journey and have to remember everything, because that's a whole part of that process. This is quite different from shamanism. And like I say, do look at our website for a better understanding of how we work and what we do. So I'm going to say goodbye for this week while I get ready to go into the trance state. And do have a lovely time. And, of course, Sylvie is ever-present because it's actually her energy that provides the vortex, well, which is the system that we use in this case to transmit from the spirit world. Okay, so that's
okay.
It. All right, and bye.
Thank you. Gregory had an earth life 300 years ago and has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world. And now he's going to come back to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. The White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They are made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. And the information that we bring is without religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. So I'd just like to, if anybody saw Gregory on Calgary TV last week, it'd be great for you to phone in and tell us what you thought at some point. That would be great. We did, we were on Breakfast Television in Calgary on City TV last Wednesday for Halloween, and we were interviewed, Gregory was interviewed as well, actually, by a werewolf and a pirate, which was which was great fun. And we had Elvis looking after us before that, and afterwards miking us up and everything for the show, and it was a riot, really. It was really great fun. So hopefully we're going to be getting a clip for everybody to see on our website at some point in the near future. I don't know if that was a first for Breakfast Television in Calgary, but it probably was. And yes, we enjoyed it, and it was thoroughly enjoyable and lots of fun, and the people in Calgary were just splendid. And we thank everybody that we saw and got involved in last week for being so good to us. It was great. Anyway, so and this Saturday in Portland we have a workshop. It's an altered states of awareness and consciousness workshop. So we will be practicing maybe levels of trance, and but don't worry if you're not interested in going into trance or anything. It's nothing. We're not going to be doing anything scary or taking anybody out of their comfort zones. But it's going to be an experiential workshop with practicing the different altered states of consciousness that you can experience in different kinds of meditations. And we will be doing lots of, shall we say, we will be practicing lots of different things. I'm not going to give too much away because it's going to be a lot of fun. And just come along on the day. It would be great. Healing Waters and Sacred Spaces in Broadway, down at Broadway in Portland, 10 till 4 p.m., okay? And if you're interested, go to our website on www.spirit-teaching.com and then give us an email on enq@spirit-teaching.com. You can find out more about us and everything that we do on the website. Anyway, here we are. Here's the star of the show. Dun-da-da-da. Gregory.
Hello, Gregory. Oh, my dear friend. With love and light, of course. Be peace, at peace upon your journey, dear friend.
Thank
little
you.
Little bird.
So how did you find being interviewed by a werewolf and a pirate?
Yes, actually, my dear friend, what I was trying to say to them, and I had begun to say to them, in fact, when they had asked of me if I had ever been interviewed by a werewolf and a pirate before, I was trying to making a joke. Yes,
yeah.
In fact, yes. Of course, I have actually had many communications with pirates, but never before with a werewolf, specifically not of that type or form.
Yeah, it was good fun. It was just a bit short. 10 minutes is
yes.
You know,
yes.
You haven't even got warmed up, really.
It could have been a little longer, but I understand the mysteries of television and that kind
absolutely.
Of thing.
Absolutely. And if there's anybody out there listening, you know, we're up for doing it again.
Yes, but a much longer situation with an audience would be far better, of course.
Yes, it would, yes.
One that, of course, we would always like to be put on the spot. We like to be questioned. That is the whole point. If you ever come into contact with a trance medium, you should be able to question them wholly and completely, asking them for verifiable evidence of who they say they are, etc. It is not good enough for people or those communicators to say perhaps that they are of too higher energy to be questioned in such a way. If that be the case, then obviously they are not who they say they are. And that is our take upon it, quite simply because we deliver here factual evidence of the continuation of life. We are about the situation of bringing factual evidence of the conditions of the spirit world and how it is that actually the physical mind continues to traverse the physical state in the upper consciousness realms of possibility which exist in the spirit world and how actually all of the mechanics of that work. And of course, how we have been progressing in this journey is really to do with my relating the situations to do with my own passing and my journey in the spirit world.
Yes. And over the weeks, we've found out about, well, about your initial passing, how you got run over by a coach and horses and lost your head and your hand, and then your eventual meeting with your mother, who actually passed when you were only three, and you were 18 and a half when you passed.
Yes.
Then you went to, this is just a very brief synopsis for everybody who missed it, then you went to spent some time in the Halls of Learning.
Yes.
With an enormous amount of experiences there. And then you went on to your soul group.
Yes, in Arcania, of
yes.
course.
Yes. So if we could take it from there.
Yes.
We ended up with you actually having looked through your Akashic book.
Well, really, in a sense, just starting.
Yes.
It, really.
Yes.
Because what you have to understand is that when you are viewing your Akashic book, it is something which is repeated again and again, not necessarily the same parts of the journey, but different parts of the journey, so that, because in fact as a spirit being even, with the consciousness state rarefied as it is, you cannot necessarily take in everything at once, even though you are a spirit being, and inasmuch you may have undefined or unbordered energy, in as much as you are able to relate to certain situations, these are actually going to be very separated, quite simply because it will depend upon what aspects of your physical life you can take upon yourself. Now, for myself, I actually didn't get up to that much mischief in physical life, and so it befell me that I did not actually have those kinds of journeys whereby perhaps I would be embarrassed or that I would perhaps even have objections to their stories being released. And you must understand as well that at the time that you were doing this, that I was doing this, I was surrounded by beings of intense light and beauty who had also had a physical life, well, some of them had, and others who had not yet had one, but had been in the exact same state as I was before I had a physical life myself, in the situation of my own esteemed name of Gregor. This, in fact, was the situation of how I presented myself, and inasmuch as I tried most definitely to illuminate and understand certain questions that arose from my Akashic book, and also, of course, I looked upon some of the decisions that were less favorable in my life, and also how it was perhaps that I may graduate and benefit from such insights. Because, of course, that's the point, really. Many beings have to understand that this may not necessarily come to you straight away. You may not necessarily be brought to the Halls of Learning or to your soul group to look and observe at your Akashic book. It may be something that is not a part of your conditioning. It may, in fact, be something that's not even a part of your learning. It wasn't part of my learning at all. But it actually came to me, it was brought to me, and I was, in a sense, drawn to go to my soul group of Arcania quite simply because I knew that there was something else beyond the Halls of Learning, and they had told me so. In fact, both the squirrel and the dolphin had intimated as such that there were other situations, other conditions within the spirit world which were far beyond that of the Halls of Learning or other such illustrious places where I may continue to create. And in fact, what I experienced in the soul group of whence I was a part before I had a physical experience, this was something of such a great beauty and such a wonder, not necessarily to do with the actual prism of the place, although that too was a place of extreme familiarity to me. It was as though I was looking into the ark of the well of God, really. It was as though I was looking into this supreme energy of love, which actually bathed me and continued to illuminate toward me so that I would know my name, know my soul, know the accumulation of my soul throughout my physical journey, and how that actually related to me as well. Because, of course, many people perhaps are misguided about the condition of the soul and why your soul becomes how it is. It is, of course, that this conditioning comes out through the emotional fields of event that you aspire to make and create in your physical life journey. So how you interact in your soul's purpose, if you like, is really a mark of how you behave in your physical reality of life, how you behave to the decisions and judgments that you make of that life. For myself, I was not a person who persecuted other animals or beings. In fact, I was a person who really quite revered most life that I found. Even insects were creatures that I could understand and relate to. Many peoples of my peers felt that I was a little odd in this respect. Perhaps it was to do with my upbringing. My father, John Hay, was not a violent man and actually brought a very great sense of depth and clarity to my life, and I thank him forever for that, because he gave me such a grounding in my life that I was never above the airs and graces of others. I always thought of myself as a humble being, as a being of little intention, really, except that I just yearned to learn, and I wished to create something of a little beauty of my own life, even if that meant chopping a piece of wood as perfectly as I could so that it would burn right, so that it would burn in the way that would be most useful to us. Even wood was quite a scarce thing in those days, particularly where we lived in the Fens, as there are few trees in that place, or at least there were at that time. Yes, of course, there were other forests to the east and to the north of us, and also to the south of us. There were many such woodland extents, but it was not something that was a frequented part of the nature of the landscape in which we lived at that time. And of course, all woodland actually belonged to whatever servants and lords that happened to rule that part of the land. Of course, most of the land at that time was actually owned by the Earl of Wessex, who owned practically a third of England, I understand, at that time.
Absolutely. So, well, that was your home then, and I had some questions from listener Karan.
Yes.
And he said, do you have a home in the spirit world?
A home specifically, like bricks and mortar, with windows and doors and that kind of thing.
Whatever, really.
Yes. No, I cannot say that I have a specific home. I do not have a place that I always return to at perhaps at a time to lick my wounds or to bring and find peace into my life. It's not something that I am now attracted to. It used to be something that I was attracted to when I first came to the spirit world, but actually, in fact, it became that I spent so much time in the halls of learning that I seemed to regard that almost as a second home. And as my first home, I suppose you could call that in my soul group. And that was, for me, a place of infinite love and purity, a place where I felt was my harbor of life. And in that respect, I suppose you could say that that is my home, intrinsically. However, I seldom visit there now, at this time, because I am far too busy with situations, both of the physical life that I interact with, in bringing about communication between our little friends here, yourself and Mr. Mick, and also, of course, to do with the many situations which concern us, to do with the environment and the interaction between the White Cloud Group. That is something which takes up an enormous amount of our time, because we are always having meetings and discussions between various peoples who have had a physical life perhaps in the human form, peoples that have had a physical life in other forms as well. And we all talk about the situations, the conditions of the environment, the ramifications of this or that pressure, which may be caused by environmental forces, maybe not. And all of these things are brought about in absolute clarity, so that we may actually form not biased opinion, but that so that we can actually form an understanding of factual analysis to better help and to better serve those of humanity who are prepared to listen to what we have to say from our observations of realities of life. Because, of course, we are looking and observing at the conditions of your solar system, of the pressures upon your climate and all of that kind of thing, the atmospheric conditions, which are actually having a bearing upon your product of life. And the way, of course, that in fact, the system of change, which happens to be about at this time. And, of course, we also observe individual people's lives, the interactions that we are going to have, perhaps to do with Akashic readings and that kind of thing, how to prepare for the Akashic reading book and how to actually bring that about. So we have a very great many interactions. Also, of course, to do with many situations surrounding individuals who have had a physical life who perhaps are ill-prepared to come back to the spirit world, and they actually fight and flight a great deal, perhaps to do with their negativity they have created in their physical life or something like that. So we have all of these different issues that we have to contend with and try to not bring about control, but consensus from these beings of a free will experience, so that they may actually come to understand and acquiesce to their point of view of negativity and resolve a more positive role in their outlook of life. Because after all, what we really need for every single being to do utmost in their life is to move forward and be creative and be beautifying to everyone else. That's the purpose of life. After all, as a part of God, as a part of the controlling energy of If.
Okay. So so where are we here then? You
where are we? We are here.
Okay. When did the work that you were going to be doing with the White Cloud Group come into play then?
Yes. Well, for me, my dear friend, the work of the White Cloud Group came into play around about the year 1735, or round about then. This was some time after I had actually begun learning to do with situations in the spirit world.
And you passed in 1723.
Yes, okay. Quite so. And the situation, really, why there was this time lapse was because I had various situations that I needed to catch up upon of my own private life. I know full well that I have brought about and reiterated stories to do with my situation in the halls of learning, and also to some extent the situation of my journey in Arcania as well. The situation happens to be that as my journey evolved, that it became more clearly known to me by my visits to the halls of learning that I was actually being prepared by others for this very reason of the condition of a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group. And it was then, in fact, that I was asked and invited to take part in this. That this wasn't something which just came out of the blue. Apparently, it had been something which we had actually all been a part of before we even had a physical life. But actually, for me, it was something that I did not realize and relate to. I understand that some people might have a little difficulty with this. Well, why didn't you understand it? Well, quite simply because when I had a physical life, I forgot. I did not realize, did not relate to the situations that I was in as Gregor and the situations I had become a part of before that physical life. And as often happens to many people, oft as it will, that beings in having a physical life, for obvious reasons, become entrapped in certain acolytes or certain conditions which surround the physical life journey. So it may be, if you talk about the condition of years, the product of one and one, the linear time field, as existing within the physical time and space reference, it means to say that as I continued to become more and more aware of my condition in the spirit world, so the situation grew. And then I became more and more aware gradually through experiential situations that I became more and more aware of who I really was and my part in this situation.
Well, before we go on any further with that, what were you supposed to do when you were having a physical life as part of the White Cloud Group? In what way were you, if you'd have remembered, in what way would you have been working?
Yes, well, the point is, you see, that not everyone who has a physical life has a specific experience that they have to enjoy or not. They do not have to learn to die in a specific way or anything like that. It's not a repeated experience, so therefore it means to say that the way and method of your passing happens to be peculiar to you. No two people will pass in the same way. I know that perhaps millions of people have had their throats cut, but to each and every one of them, their method of passing and their remembrance of that will be individual to the individual icon. So it's not to say that the journey that I had was necessarily in reference specifically to the White Cloud Group. In fact, my journey was one of complete simplicity. It was because of this journey of simplicity that apparently it was needed so that I was uncluttered to having the problems of physical life that many others do, so that I would actually recover quite quickly. This does not mean to say that I didn't have a free will experience, but so that I could recover quite quickly from my experience and continue to learn and create and gravitate toward the positive things of life. Therefore, I would be more ready and more enabled to share the experiences that I had and also to understand the experiences of others, because they were not experiences that I'd necessarily befallen myself, but that I was aware of as I observed other lives outside of my own during my physical experience.
Yes, well, presumably living where you did in more of a rural setting, rather than being in the middle of London or something like that,
yes,
you had a better fighting chance of having a slightly better life.
Yes, I suppose
life.
You could say, well, yes.
Quieter, more, I mean, simple, yes, more simple.
Yes,
more simple.
Yes. Certainly not easier.
No.
I saw a man called Abraham Loftus, who actually got gored by a boar.
Really?
A wild boar, yes. He was gored by it and half-eaten by it. So I cannot say that it was necessarily an illustrious life.
No, no. You weren't stuffed down a chimney to sweep chimneys.
No, thankfully,
I wasn't. Or in the poorhouse.
No, it was poor,
but you were loved.
Absolutely, of course. Thankfully, I avoided that situation. The situation, in fact, that was caused by the Industrial Revolution at that time, the beginnings of it, of course, and that actually sent countless children and countless families towards the City of London and other great cities like Manchester and Liverpool and other cities of Norwich and that kind of thing, and whereby they, in fact, were used severely in that way, and many poor children lost their lives. I am most eternally grateful that my father never resorted to such exhaustive situations.
Absolutely. You had a meagre existence, but you made do and you got by.
Oh, yes, absolutely so, yes.
Okay, so I see. So the situation with the White Cloud Group was started before you had a physical life. Long before you had a physical life. Did you remember about that once they started talking about the White Cloud Group?
Well, it gradually, in a sense, came to me. Mm. I cannot say that it wasn't like this flash of light and, oh, yes, I remember everything now and it's as clear as a bell. It didn't come like that at all. It was something which was actually quite a gradual process, I have to say, and something which was inclement like the weather at that time.
Mm.
There were very many rainy days, and there were rainy days in my consciousness as well. And in as much as I found it quite difficult to relate to certain aspects of it, of my journey, and what it was that I was supposed to remember. So in those respects, I suppose, you could say that I was a little intolerant or a little abhorrent of the consciousness state that I should have remembered.
I'd like to say thank you for anybody who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and our show this week is about Gregory's journey in the spirit world. Part 7.
You could say, my friend, spirit world, because that is how we would reflect upon it.
Well, where you lived in...
Spirit world, yes.
In Norwich?
Yes, of course, yes.
If you'd like to phone Gregory with a question... you'll find the number on the website or on our website, spirit-teaching.com, or on BBS Radio, and it's toll-free. Okay, so who actually approached you to bring up this subject about the White Cloud Group then, initially?
Well, actually, my dear friend, it was this energy which began making itself known to me. This energy was something that appeared neither as human or neither as any one particular form. In fact, did not illuminate as a form at all, but merely as a glowing shard of light which seemed to pulsate and seemed at one with the universe of its own surrounding and appeared to illuminate surrounding around itself. That was different and completely changed and altered from the surrounding in which I found myself. I looked and observed at this as being a most peculiar occurrence of the like that I had never ever before witnessed. Even in my state as a spirit being, I seemed to recollect that there were energies such as these which appeared bring about no particular shape or form, but seemed to be elliptical in nature, seemed to move and pulsate, and also appeared to gravitate a sort of charm and wisdom, and actually began speaking in my own language in my mind.
Oh, right, okay.
So this was a condition which I gradually came to know as the condition of being within the aspect of energy of a shining one. And this situation was something, however, that was from afar. It was not something which this individual came to me in like we are now.
No.
In the sense of, I'm sitting at one end of a table and you are sitting around the corner from it. This was a situation where I was actually mindful at the time that I was observing situations which were happening upon the physical earth plane. And I was observing them as though I was looking in a deep reflection of water. And as I observed this situation, it was actually a quarrel between a husband and wife over the condition of their children. And the husband was actually roundly condemning the wife for her lack of ability to keep the children clean. And she was complaining to the husband that, in fact, it was part of his responsibility to ensure this duality of purpose that he actually had a dealing within it. These actually were a couple who were at odds with one another greatly. And I was staring at this situation and observing it from within the physical side of life as I saw it, and I became aware of this other energy which became presented to me, yet appeared to be from afar, and yet was talking to my very soul.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this was a condition which began to enliven my condition, I suppose. I can only say it like that because I was aware of the energy of my within a depth of self and the way that if you can imagine that, I'm sorry that I keep stopping here, but I'm trying to relate it in such a way as you perhaps in physical state would understand from a physical practicality. So if you can imagine for a moment that your thoughts of mind become crystals, and they become little shards of crystal which have light, and each thought or each parsec of your thought, and one thought may be made up of many, many millions of parsecs of light, because they vary by your intention of your thought. So as you are thinking, as you are creating thought, and the illumination of your thought is being brought about by your love and intention, your service to others, the condition of which you wish to bring positivity or love via the thought towards someone else, this is something which appears as little crystal shards, which are sent then to the spirit world or to other conditions of other beings that you wish to help to heal or perhaps that you wish to pass information to. And this is the way in which the thoughts appear to be real and not imaginary, but actually have substance in a non-physical reality, so that you can actually see the kinds of thoughts that you are producing, which enables you as a being to actually understand your real intention behind those thoughts, and that also other beings can also see your intention behind those thoughts because they're colored in a specific way. So in this respect, of course, it means to say that all beings in the spirit world who have thoughts and create thoughts and send them toward others are actually crystallized into a specific form and type, so that others can actually see what your intention is and the intention of the thoughts that you are sending in the love form and on the love vibration. Now, what I actually had from this specific being was that their loving intentional thought to me came as this varied fluid which appeared to move within and without my very soul. And this was, in fact, a touching of supreme bliss is all that I can say. It was as though I was being asked and in union at the same time, as though every thought mattered not a jot, every whim that I had ever had previously just seemed to melt into the existence not of a demand, but of an understanding, a perfect blending of my energy with this more inner will and power, which I understood. It was not that it was attracted to me because I could have a piece of this, but that I too, it was explained, could emanate such understanding and such illuminosity toward others, if I so wished to do it, not through egoism, but through my wish to be of service to others. And don't forget, friends, that this is something which had always been uppermost in my mind, that I had always wanted to be of service to someone else, even if it was to my mother, God rest her, that I could not actually include this in my physical will of survival, because, quite simply, she had passed at my age of 3.5 years. So it was not something that I could complete, but at least I could be there for my father until I passed myself and at the 18.5 tender years of age at which I had passed from this dwelling place. And so it actually appears that I wanted to and understood that my vocation was of something of giving of service to others, of the creation of this service, that in this one sublime moment of understanding and truth, that white cloud had given to me, this was the individual that I came to understand as white cloud, who had created worlds. Can you imagine that? The power of that? Can you imagine the sublime richness of the state of being of purity to create something which could then go on to create other life of other physical form? How could such a power exist within one's own command and yet be at the state of complete bliss and giving to all life and all feeling, all beings of even the littlest soul and the littlest mind? It matters not, because all is a part of that which is God sublime.
So this is what, for people that don't know, this is what the Shining One is, basically.
And this is why, my dear friends, that for us to understand that human beings would cite, oh yes, I talked to a Shining One, it was just like this or like that, or they really don't know what they're talking about, because you do not talk to a Shining One. You commune in a sense and a way that they give of you. And it is something of the feelings and depths of soul that you do not transpire to coach or to coax from a Shining One. It is a situation of an illumination which comes to you as a form of the divine purpose and is not something that you command or that you can say that as a physical being that you can command, because quite clearly you do not. Because physical beings, in their own, by their own admission, are unable to command such a visual expectation or even such an energetic expectation of something beyond physical reality.
So, okay, so this the Shining One, White Cloud, and he told you this. Shall we say, telepathically?
Yes.
For us to understand.
Yes, within soul, yes.
Yes. What did he actually say to you? And how did he say he was White Cloud?
Yes, he said, he introduced himself as White Cloud, and that the Ark of Spirit bade of me that I be of service, if I will of it. I merely said, I understand that I smiled. In my whole heart, I smiled. My whole mind was bursting with love and awareness of this pure soul. And I said of him, I am of service to all, whoever it may be.
Had you heard of him before?
No.
Had you heard of Shining Ones before?
I remember some recollection deep within my source of consciousness.
Mm.
But it was something, as I say, remember, friend, that I was still illuminating about the journey of physical life that I had undergone. And so this was not something which was a party of my conscious memory at that time. Although I understood that there were many depths of life that I, as yet, still had not been a party to, and I took it upon myself that this was quite simply because I was unready to receive it. I was unready to be of this commandment, if you'd like.
Mm. So it was because you were ready that happened, that was able to come about?
Yes, quite so.
So what happened after that? I mean, okay, what else did he say?
He also, he actually talked about my life extensively. And at that point, my mother appeared as well. And she appeared in a crystalline form that had form of her previous physical state, but also was glorified within some other energy boundary that appeared to be within my own realm of understanding and yet recede into other realms of understanding that I could not conceive at that time. I know this is a little difficult. Perhaps if you can imagine that you see and observe a particular being of a certain kind of hue and color that a appears to have a specific depth. And then the more that you observe it, the more that you look upon it, the greater that depth becomes. And it recedes and moves within and without different directions and different seemingly unfathomable dimensional states of being. It was as though it traveled in every dimension. And this was my mother.
Okay.
So this situation became obvious that she had said, this is why you are here, this is why you are in this place, is to be present in this way so that you can be of service and of use to all. And I said, but I have never wanted anything less. And I was aware of this enfolding energy of love, supreme love of a nature that all I could do was think of the most beautiful love of anything that I could have ever imagined made my heart burst, made me burst with all the energy that I wanted to share with the universe at this time.
And then what happened?
And then I merely said, do with me what you will, whatever I am, at the behest of all goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found myself back in the halls of learning, just like that. I was back in the place that I had come to know and love. And I was then presented with three books.
Mm-hmm.
And each book had a life of its own, of course, as they do in the halls of learning.
Yes.
The first book was The Law of Attraction.
Mm-hmm.
The second book was of The Law of Love. And the third book was the law of intention. And I was to take these three books, the law of attraction, the law of love, and the law of intention. And I studied them for a great length of time. It was actually that these three books depicted all of the nuances and all of the situations of system of behavior to do with humanity. And how different forms of the law of attraction and intention created sometimes negative states and sometimes positive states, depending upon the judgment and decision making of the individual and the way that they wish to use their energy. To utilize the same for both positive and negative traits was something that became apparent to me that I did not actually understand in physical life. But now that I had these three books to explain to me the laws that were so universal in their nature and so interdimensional in their traits and form of how they actually shaped lives, that I really began to understand the necessity for the White Cloud Group and the way in which many others would come together to help shape and focus these energies of factual knowledge and base.
And were you told that there were going to be more people? I mean, how was it described to you what was going to happen and why you had to learn these? Okay, the three books being presented to you is a bit of a hint here, but
yes,
you know. But did anybody elaborate on anything like that?
No, I was merely impressed that these were my codes of life. That I had to digest completely. And that is the task that I set about. And as I did this, I was aware that out of the pages of these books came these noble people who were presented to me and who actually began interacting with me. I had never seen anything of a like before. They first of all appeared as holographic images, and then, lo, their spirit manifested themselves in my auric field, in my sight, in my vision. and I began interacting with them in a very real and visual way. And I began being shown the lives of other eminent peoples as they began to exist in their own physical life realities. And I watched as they grew in their life experience, as the ravages of their physical life laid them to waste, brought tolls upon them.
So was this examples that of like the law of attraction in action or...
Yes.
And that sort of thing? That,
yes.
So it was like... So it wasn't so much as a lecture, but as
a continuation of life.
Well, a continuation of life, yes, but
yes.
It was sort of like an enactment,
actually
watching a scene happening,
yes,
and you learning from that.
Yes, absolutely so, in real time,
in real time.
It unfolded. It was as though it was a multiplicit part of a play that I was actually aware of, but this was a very real-life play. And something which actioned a great many strange situations between relationships as they happened and evolved. So it was something that I became very much aware of, the physical relationships and transitions between different peoples and how their relationships transitioned from one type and form to another, quite simply by the various different forms of input that they brought into it, the compassion that they felt, the emotion that they felt, the emotional fields, and how they actually affected their soul's description, and how that soul description then had an impact upon their spirit lives once they'd finished with their physical experience. And that, too, became something that I was most attracted to and took a great deal of part, time, and energy in, because I then became very instrumental in the healing capability of such peoples, and how they could then themselves redress the conditions of their physical life once they had returned to the spirit world.
Mm. So sort of like case histories, really.
And, yes.
Fascinating, because because you didn't interact that much with an awful lot of people and society and these situations in your life, that you wouldn't have come across a lot of these situations. So you had to have it... shown to you in a different way, basically.
Yes, dished up on a different place.
Absolutely,
yes,
yeah.
Quite
yeah,
so.
Absolutely. But more intensified, really.
Yes, absolutely.
One after the other.
Yes, as it was. And, of course, then I had the chance and interactivity with these different beings once they passed back to our side of life. So it meant to say that I could really help them firsthand, because I had actually watched and viewed their life experiences and their troubles and turmoils and all of that kind of thing. And I was actually able to be not just a witness of their life, if I was interactive with them, but also that I was actually instrumental in helping them overcome certain objects and obstacles that they had created in their physical life, perhaps because I actually saw it from a different form and perspective. So in that way, I could actually offer them a very genuine state of help and reinforcement of where they exactly were going in their physical life, which is why I am trying to bring this same attitude to the conditions of which and how we find conditions of people that we interact with now when we are doing Akashic readings and that kind of thing, so that people can really truly understand that they are not alone, that there are witnesses to their life, that they do understand, that we do understand the pains and tribulations and trials that they go through. And this is, of course, all a part of the breath of spirit, of the way in which we may interact fully with love and kindness always upon our minds, our hearts, and our emotions. We are not emotionless in the spirit world, but deliver the word of spirit in truth and fact and love, of course. Always love is best.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Gregory.
You are welcome.
Absolutely fascinating, as usual.
With love and light, my friend.
God bless.
God bless.
Okay, well, thanks very much for joining us. I'd just like to mention that our website is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about us. Maybe you'd like to book an Akashic reading or something like that, and just do browse through our site and see what we have on there. It's fascinating. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. So until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.